you are a parent, there's no doubt that with everything on the news and on social media, these things can wear you down. Over the next few days, we'll talk about how to handle anxiety and panic in this time of crisis. And I'm going to keep you focused when we play Bible Jeopardy, where you can renew your mind with the Word of God. And the music is going to be jumping in his joint. So I advise you to join me on Wednesday right here on KAYT KQJOFM. And we're online at www.kaytfm.com. We'll be streaming live on Facebook and we'll be on YouTube as well.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Hello, everybody. This is BJ with Just Stuff. And today, my guest is Lahoma Richardson, an employee of the Rapides Parish Sheriff's Department. And Lahoma has an inspiring story for us today, and I hope her story inspires someone else. Lahoma, how are you today?
I am doing well, thank you.
Okay, what is your, how many years have you been working for the Sheriff's Department?
I've been with Rapides Sheriff's Office for 21 years and 8 months.
Okay, and what is your job description? What is your job there?
I am the Central Reentry Director, the Central Area Reentry Director.
Okay, what is the purpose of the reentry program?
Reentry is designed to help the incarcerated offenders, the offenders rather, because they're already incarcerated. Once they get out of jail, it's to help them so they will not reoffend. The programs are designed to give them information that they can take with them once they're out of jail. And some of the offenders, they get good time, so they're released earlier. And if not, they still get the information to help them. It's all designed through DOC.
Okay. Is it difficult for ex-offenders to find jobs and housing once they're released?
It is very difficult. If you do not have a strong support system, and I know that's one of the questions, if you do not have a strong support system, some of the guys will resort back to their old ways. And if that was all they knew or all they know, then that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys, if they have burned their bridges with their family members or friends, it's very hard for them to find housing, especially sex offenders. We have the hardest time trying to find a sex offender housing. As of right now, we have over 400 sex offenders that are past their date to being released from jail, but they can't get out of jail because they don't have an address. So they'll sit in jail until their full term date.
Okay.
Yes. And just in Louisiana itself, over 400 that are ready to be released right now, but they do not have an address.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, there are stipulations when you're a sex offender, you know, you can't stay by schools and, you know, just different things, you know. So mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. just, they have to stay in jail.
So what happens when their full term is served and they get out in the community?
They are released. They will have to report. And if they don't have an address, it's still pretty bad. They can go back to jail, you know.
Mm.
You know, the officer may give them a little time to try to find an address, but if they don't find one, they are subject to go back to jail. So all the prisons become overpopulated
I
because
see.
Of that reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be very easy if everybody had an address, but everybody doesn't. Everybody doesn't. So it makes it very tough.
Okay. Now, we've been talking about your job, and I'm going to switch gears here. Now, you did something that was out of the ordinary, out of the ordinary scheme of what you do. So what was that?
I was a contestant for a modeling contest. I want to say back in September of last year, when I got the information that I was going to be a contestant. So I was out of the 50, I was one of the 50 contestants. And what got me involved with modeling, in the beginning, as a teenager, I wanted to do it.
Oh, you did?
I did as a teenager, but my dad was the old school dad.
Yeah.
And he wasn't letting his little daughter go away to another city, because all he said was, they get those girls, and they sell them and make prostitutes and put them on drugs, you know. So I listened to dad. I couldn't just go out on my own. So I listened to dad. But so many years later, I ended up getting diabetes, diagnosed with diabetes. And the doctor gave me some strict rules to follow, and I did. But I always had in my mind that God was going to heal me from diabetes, and he did.
Amen.
So once the Lord healed me from diabetes, I just had a notion to say, okay, well, I lost this weight. Let me see if they're looking for old school models or something. Somebody. Because I wasn't a young teenager no more. But, I mean, we all have to wear clothes and be on, you know, makeup and all that. So I said, well, let me see if they're looking for someone. So I did.
So it was always in the back of your mind.
It was,
that you wanted to do something related to modeling.
I did. And it was in the back of my mind. So the opportunity did present itself, and I was a contestant.
So how did it happen, the whole process of you finding out about it and becoming a contestant?
I actually just searched online. I just kind of put it in the search engine, old age modeling or modeling contest. I hate to say it that way, but those are the words that I use to try to find something. And Natural Beauty's Playground, it's a cosmetic company in Maryland. And they were having a contest. It was an online voting contest.
So you just ran across it?
I just ran across it, entered a couple of pictures, some information, and then I almost forgot about it, and then they contacted me through email to let me know I was one of the contestants.
Oh, my. How excited were you?
I was excited. I was like, oh, wow, okay, I still may have a little something. So I entered it, and then they said, start trying to get votes, because that's how you win. And I started
votes
telling
from
people online voting.
Oh, online.
You have to go online and vote.
Okay.
So I started just talking to people, say, hey, I'm running, trying to win this contest. Can you go online and vote for me, and this, that, and the other? And they did. And thank God. I mean, I was the only one from Louisiana.
Really?
The contest was called Face of America, and I was the only one from Louisiana. It was open to United States. And for the 2 weeks that the voting was in effect, that we started getting the percentages to see where we were on the list, I stayed number one
really?
The entire time. Yes, ma'am, I did. Stayed number one the entire time.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yep.
And so what did your dad, did you tell your dad?
He's deceased.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he's been deceased since 1995.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he passed of a stroke. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So I got the information on January 21st, which was Martin Luther King's birthday, that I had won.
How ironic is that?
Yep. That I had won the contest, and I was just very excited about that.
I bet.
I'm like, my old self just won. I just competed with 18-year-olds and all kinds of, people without wrinkles, and I got wrinkles, and I competed, and I won.
You don't have any wrinkles.
I do. It's just that I know those 18-year-olds don't have any.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was a blessing, so I was excited.
Mm-hmm.
So at that moment, I knew, okay, all these years, I always wanted to do modeling, couldn't do it, and, end up having kids and so forth. I'm not going to say I couldn't do it once I got grown, but once you get into working and having children, married, you don't really have time to worry about that. So it was just in the back of my mind, but, the Lord blessed me. He still, delayed but not denied.
Mm-hmm.
So it still was a dream to come true.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have my picture posted on a billboard in Times Square was even a bigger dream.
Oh, my.
Because that happened September 6th, I think it was. It was going to be during Fashion Week,
mm-hmm.
and they posted it.
So how long did it stay?
Just during Fashion Week.
Oh, I got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just during Fashion Week. And then they send you the picture to let you see
mm-hmm.
how your picture's up there in Times Square.
So did they put it online?
Yes,
they did. Other people had access to it?
You could go on their website, and you will be able to see that I was the winner, and then how they posted my picture on it, or on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So that
what did
was
your
exciting.
Children say?
Oh, they were excited.
Really?
They were. Yeah. And then coworkers and friends and
really?
Family was like, okay, I'll see you up there in Times Square.
That's
yeah.
That is so good. So exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So the end result was getting your picture in Times Square mm-hmm. on a billboard. That was the.
That was
the end result of the contest.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll start anew. As a matter of fact, I think now it's open now to people that want to apply.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting a new contest for next year.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to enter?
No, I'm not. That's enough.
Would you ever consider modeling as a career?
Oh, yes, by all means.
Oh,
yes, ma'am. I have, as a matter of fact, coming up, I'll be attending modeling a fashion show in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
This month.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
That really is something you always wanted to do.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's so wonderful. To
I'm
be able to pursue your dream at mm-hmm. any age, that's amazing.
It is. And it's motivation, you know, for others.
Mm-hmm.
I like for them to hear my story.
Right.
To see, you know, hey, don't give up
mm-hmm.
just because of your age or your size, whatever the case is.
Right.
Don't give up. Keep
right.
going.
Keep
you
going.
Never know what God has in plan for you.
That is it.
You know, you never know. He may have not been ready for you to do that back then,
mm-hmm.
as myself.
Mm-hmm.
But he waited years later and made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing that I am trying to talk to the offenders about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something new that I've gotten into. God has placed it on my heart to go and speak with offenders in as many prisons and facilities that I can get in,
mm-hmm.
in the state and out of the state,
mm-hmm.
and let them know, don't give up on your dream. Don't feel like just because you come to prison that it's the end of your life,
mm-hmm.
because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
God is still with you. He still has his hands on you for some reason.
For some reason, you may not have
figured out what the reason is,
mm-hmm.
but if you keep going, and you keep Christ first, he's going to reveal it to you.
He will definitely do that.
Yes. So that's the journey I'm on now.
And that was one of the things that I was going to ask you. What mm-hmm. is your passion? What do you see yourself doing as long as possible? What's your passion?
I think fashion is a passion. It's just maybe number two.
Mm-hmm.
My first one would be being a motivational, inspirational speaker,
mm-hmm.
because I am a Christ follower, and that is my first job,
mm-hmm.
to try to win as many souls as I can for
mm-hmm.
Christ. Talk to the people and just let them know, keep going. You only fail when you stop trying.
Absolutely.
You know, so if you keep going, you put Christ right there with you,
mm-hmm.
make him first,
mm-hmm.
he's gonna
and
take
give him
through.
Something to work with.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's gotta have something to work
he
with.
He has to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I think you and I were speaking. I said, yeah, you know, God will order your steps,
but you
got to move your feet.
Got to move your feet.
You got to move
Absolutely.
Your feet.
Absolutely.
You can't order those steps if they're sitting there not moving.
That's right. That is exactly right. So what would be your advice to someone who wants to follow their dreams but may not have that confidence to move forward, and you know, they instead of moving forward, they would rather just give up than to face the future. What would be your advice?
I would say to a person to never give up. As long as you have breath in your body, you never give up. Whatever it is that you're trying to do, if you're trying to build a business, even if you want to be a motivational speaker, for some, like some of the guys I would talk to, their goal, I've mentioned to them, your goal may to be a better husband, a better father. That is a goal. because some of them may have been not so good as mm-hmm. a husband or a father. Mm-hmm. But your goal now is to be a better one. Mm-hmm. Be the best that you can be. And all you have to do is try at least to get yourself on the path of doing what's right.
What's right.
If you can't get on the path to doing what's right, then it's not going to work for you.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to work. It's like insanity. It's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. So you mm-hmm. have to get on that path, the positive path.
And it may be hard mm-hmm. because sometimes we get into habits and mm-hmm. we get so used to doing things a certain way until sometimes the right way becomes vague.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have to move away from that practice. You know, you can't go back mm-hmm. and practice. It's practice. You have
it
to
is.
Practice moving forward
yes.
because, like I said, you get used to doing mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. a certain way, and it may not be the right way. So mm-hmm. when you find out what the right way is, then practice.
And patience.
Moving the right way. And when mm-hmm. the enemy comes, tell the enemy
come.
To go get a bottle of wine and yeah. jump in the Red River somewhere and leave you alone because you're going to do this.
Yes, so, that's the main thing, because we know whether you're free or unfree, it doesn't matter. The enemy will sit on your shoulder 24 hours a day.
24.
He's on his job in your ear trying to target your weaknesses because
mm-hmm.
he knows where they are.
Mm-hmm.
He'll try to target your weaknesses. But if you yield to that temptation, then he feels like, okay, I got you now. You know, so it starts with your mindset. If you have not changed your mind, then how can your actions change? They won't change. So it has to be with the mindset.
You are so right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything you'd like to add to?
Yes, I would. We have a coalition, LAPRI. The mm-hmm. name of it is Louisiana Prisoner Reentry Initiative,
mm-hmm.
and it's where the community comes together to try to have these resources for guys that are being released out of jail,
mm-hmm.
the moderate to high-risk offenders.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that we see that are going back and forth to jail. That's why the recidivism rate is so high.
Mm-hmm.
So we have come up with this coalition and have all these different people to try to help
mm-hmm.
all the way possible with homelessness. Of course, you know, the manor house, they feed,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the problems be the guys with no homes
mm-hmm.
and maybe medical, so, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get them their Medicaid card, which in reentry, we do apply for their Medicaid
mm-hmm.
card, but just different ones coming together as a team to help those that need help. And sometimes people have problems with helping. You know, Jesus loves charity, and I can't understand, you know, especially for people that say that they are a Christian or a Christ follower,
mm-hmm.
and they have a problem with helping. I don't understand how you can have a problem with helping when, as a Christian, that is your job, to try to help as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying put yourself out the way,
mm-hmm.
you know, nothing like that. But if you can help, why not help?
But do you think that the community needs to be more educated on this problem of reentry? Because it may be a stigma attached to offenders. People are afraid.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people are afraid to help.
They are.
You know, because they don't know the end result.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think educating the public on reentry would be a good idea?
I think that
and
is
then
a start.
More people would
yes.
help, be willing
mm-hmm.
to help if they could understand it better.
Right. Yeah. I think that is a start.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm doing. I am pouring into the community with my time and effort by going into the prisons
mm-hmm.
on my own time
mm-hmm.
and speaking with them and talking with them and anybody else that would, you know, seek out to want me to talk with them or whatever
mm-hmm.
it takes, I'm willing to do that
mm-hmm.
because I'm all about trying to help a person as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't go out your way or get in any trouble to help
right.
anybody, but as much as you can.
Right,
and
right.
God will order that.
Mm-hmm.
He will order that. He will order your steps.
Mm-hmm.
If that is your prayer, he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If that is
and I can feel your passion. You're really passionate. You're really passionate about this.
Yeah, I go on and on and on. So, I mean,
oh,
I try.
That's
all I can do is try.
Yeah.
I may get knocked down, but, hey, I have to just get back up and try it again.
Get back up and do it again. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I try.
But, well, is there any way that the – are there any programs available that would educate the public more on the trials and tribulations of ex-offenders?
Not to my knowledge. There's no programs that are in place right now.
Mm-hmm.
But even if someone wanted to just form up a meeting at a meeting place, say,
mm-hmm.
okay, we want to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually do that if somebody wanted to do it. Let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do. What are our options? What are we being faced with? And go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because offenders have families.
Mm-hmm.
And those families know what their loved one's problem is.
Right.
Whether it's a drug problem or just wanting to do crime problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's there's a problem somewhere.
Somewhere.
If they keep recidivating.
Mm-hmm.
So those families know. And I talk to family members all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to a lady the other day. She was the mother. And she said, ma'am, my son has a drug problem. She said, I know. She said, but I'm his mama. And that's just a fact. She's his mom. She don't want to turn her back on.
And you're not
going
to throw your children away. You just not.
No. They may
have
issues, but hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, you pray for them and do what you can for
mm-hmm.
them. And that's it. You just got to pray and ask God to, you know, pierce their heart so they will turn around. Because
mm-hmm.
some want to do right, and then some just, they're not ready yet. So it's like, maybe God got to put a little bit more whipping on you before you're ready. We don't know,
mm-hmm.
but we still try to do what we can to help them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I have enjoyed this conversation, and I do appreciate you speaking with me today. And I hope someone is listening that will be inspired by what you do and what you have done, and to have that compassion to help people, because, you know, we need to be in that position to help each other, to
yes,
encourage
ma'am.
Each other,
mm-hmm.
to reach out, because the word says to feed the hungry and clothe the naked.
That's right.
I don't know the whole scripture, but I know that's
you
part
know that
of
part.
It. Mm-hmm. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we should be asking God to help us in whatever we can find for our hands
mm-hmm.
to do, to be guided by Him.
That's right.
And to reach out to other people, whatever it is. And, you know, that's your lane. It may not be my lane, but
that's
I can help you in
that's
your
right.
lane.
That's right.
I
yep.
can help you in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
We can help each other.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm grateful that you agreed to come, and we will be watching for you to be on another billboard.
If that's what God has next, then yes, I'm all for it.
But the journey itself has to be exciting, though.
Yes,
just
ma'am,
to
it is.
Be able
yes.
to participate
mm-hmm.
and to fulfill a dream that you've had for
that's
such
right.
a long time. So
my
that's
old self. That's right.
Well, you don't look old, so
that's okay. I know what that birth certificate says.
Oh my goodness! So anyway, like I said, I thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. And if anybody wanted to reach out, they can reach out to me on Facebook, Lahoma Moore Richardson,
mm-hmm.
or through email, lyricsofministry@yahoo.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lahoma.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you.
I understand that it is easy to say follow your dreams, but sometimes life will throw you a curve that makes it almost impossible, such as work, finances, taking care of families, just things that life requires. But following your dreams unleashes something in you that you have always wanted to do. Following dreams requires something from the dreamer, which is discipline. I know that I would love to be able to play the piano. That is one of my dreams, is to play the piano. I've been taking piano lessons. I did take piano lessons. I stopped. I don't practice what I've learned. And I know in order to be able to play the piano, I will have to practice. But that's something that I haven't done. And hopefully one day I will do it. Following your dreams may inspire someone else. If your dream means something to you, keep trying. Sometimes some dreams take longer than others to achieve, but that's what makes the journey worth it. No one is going to follow your dream for you. Like Lahoma said, a dream delayed is not a dream denied, and do not give up on your dreams. The negative words from other people, do not give those negative words power over you. Encourage yourself and get going. Follow your dreams. We'll be right back.